Lord God, help us to be attentive, like Anna, like Simeon, and help us to become more interested in the things of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the contrast of the hymn, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them wide, O everlasting doors." This psalm that's just exultant and exuberant. Gates, the doors on gates in ancient Israel were huge. These big slabs of rock, to open a door would be like, you know, take like 15 people to open the door. And we can imagine a big procession with lots of pomp. But think of the contrast. Mary and Joseph are making their way to the court of the women in the temple, totally incognito. No one lifted an eyebrow, an eyelash. No one noticed, right? Even though it was just primed for this triumphal entry and would foreshadow the entry that Jesus would make to begin the Passion on Palm Sunday. I just love it, this incognito, this going about your business when it's just this glorious moment and two people recognize it. Never forget those two people, Simeon and Anna. And please put them in your sort of group of Christmas people. I don't usually associate Simeon and Anna with Christmas, but this is just a month following. And really, they had been in the temple since 8 days when Jesus would have been circumcised, like all other Jewish boys, circumcised on the 8th day. And then it appears that Mary and Joseph perhaps hung out in Jerusalem until the period of purification came, when both Mary and Jesus would go and make proper sacrifice, because both had been in contact with blood through birth. Interesting, eh? These rituals, these commandments that were being followed, you can find them in Leviticus 12, and you could make an argument that Jesus was above all that, wasn't he? I mean, this is God. Why would Jesus need to be circumcised? And yet, I'm looking at this moment in history differently. First of all, putting Simeon and Anna in with the Christmas folk. We put away the Magi, didn't we? And Mary and Joseph and the stable, the manger animals. But here, Simeon and Anna bring us back to this wonder moment. And cause us to linger for a moment and to consider what might be there for us. Jesus shedding his blood at 8 days of life, experiencing the pain, whatever 8-year-old little boys experience, right? And yet it was a foreshadowing, was it not, of him shedding his blood for the sins of humanity, for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus identifying so closely with us that he went through these rituals. He submitted to the law of Moses. His parents did. They were obedient under the law and faithful Jews. And one day he would deliver them as well. And so we see in the letter to the Hebrews, the second reading, this very close identity. This is so important that Jesus identified with us in flesh and blood. And what more pointed moment of flesh and blood than birth and circumcision? I mean, literally. And so my hope is that through reflecting on these things, not dwelling on them, but reflecting on them, we might be drawn more deeply into this mystery of God become human in Jesus, and God understanding us through Jesus' participation in our humanity, and that we might perhaps consider Jesus in a new way and draw nearer to God than perhaps we presently are. So it was their purification, Jesus and his mother shared in this moment, And we're told that they offered a sacrifice that was in accordance with the scriptures. They were a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. If you look in Leviticus 12, the command is that at the birth of a son, a lamb be offered as part of the purification and dedication ceremony. Yet it allowed for two birds to be offered if the family could not afford to present a lamb. And so it gives us some insight as to the socioeconomic status of Mary and Joseph. They didn't have much money. And so they gave the lesser gift. Some reflect that this sort of shows that it was before the Magi arrived with their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, that they would have been able to afford a lamb had they had those gifts. And so it's consistent with the understanding that the Magi came sometime later in the life of Jesus and Joseph and Mary. I find these details very interesting. It really earths my faith. It earths and grounds my understanding of Jesus. It does something to me. It fills me in a way that reading it, just simply reading it, it doesn't fill me. Not in the same way anyway. And that Mary, in her suffering, her saying, "Yes, Lord," when she heard the message from the angel, "May it be to me according to your word." And here the word is fleshed out through Simeon and says, "A sword will pierce your own soul. You'll experience suffering as you witness your son being rejected and despised. He will be raised up as a sign that will divide people. And that will pierce your heart too. Only a mother knows the depths of feeling and experience when they witness their son or daughter go through difficulty, through struggle. And here's Mary, these newlyweds. Lots going on, wouldn't you say, in the life of Mary and Joseph? So they brought him according to the custom of the law. They were faithful. No one else noticed except first Simeon. He was God's sentinel. We don't know much about Simeon. We don't know anything about him, really, other than he lived in Jerusalem and that he was old-ish. Anna was old. She was an elder in the ancient Near East. 84 would have been very old. Simeon, he was probably an older man. And it's a point of reflection, I feel, as well, for those of us who are in the as in Quebec they say, le troisième âge, the third stage of life. That goes from what? I don't know, 60? To 90? And then beyond, it's just like, wow. But do you ever think about what that life, part of your life is going to be like? Those of us who are in that stage of life, could we take Simeon and Anna as models for a vibrant, spirit-filled faith, for an active, engaging ministry? Wouldn't it be beautiful to come to the end of your life and say, "I can go now. I feel so fulfilled in you, God." You know, as Simeon did, he even broke out in song. "Let your servant now depart in peace. I can leave this world. I am so full. I'm so satisfied. Take me now." What a way to go, eh? Your family might be going, "Hey, what about us?" And yet, for Simeon, what a beautiful moment. And Anna, she couldn't stop talking about the Messiah. Have you heard? Can you imagine this 84-year-old woman scurrying around the temple saying, "Did you hear? Messiah's come. Did you hear that?" She couldn't help herself. Both spirit-filled. Anna with prayer and fasting. She was so focused. We don't know how the day started for Simeon, but he was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. It was like he was looking for the Messiah. Any parents with a little one, he'd be going, like at arrivals at YVR, have you ever been waiting for someone to come through the gate? You know, hundreds of people, thousands of people might come through. Is that them? No? Is that them? No? You know, you watch people, it's great, and their faces brighten, and the person coming through the gate goes, you know? Well, that was Simeon. Simeon looked and went, here's the one. Here's the one. And we can only imagine he came right up to Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph were used to unusual things happening, weren't they? Shepherds coming in the middle of the night. Angels saying stuff that just blew them away. So this wasn't totally out of the picture for them. Have you ever had a complete stranger come up to you in a public place and pick up your child? Or kiss your child? People do weird things with babies, don't they? Take liberties that just, you kind of go, excuse me, we don't know you. Could you give my baby back now? We had people give us stuff, took pity on us with triplets. It's like, here's a few bucks. You know, put that toward their education. It's like, you know, what do you do with that? You kind of go, thanks, you know? But here's Simeon. He goes and takes Jesus in his arms. Can you see him? What a beautiful image. The smile on his face, lifting Jesus up. And it says he blesses God. Isn't that great? His life is so Godward that he takes God and blesses God. Is it blessing Jesus, blessing God? Does it matter? I don't think it matters. So what do we know about him? He was righteous and devout. In the end, what else matters? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Did you hear? Anna was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Same thing. They had the burden of others on their hearts and were waiting for the one day when Messiah would come. We learn that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon and that it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ or the Anointed One, the Messiah. What a life. What a beautiful life, and what a beautiful ministry he has in the life of Mary and Joseph and Jesus. What about being an elder? Would that be something that would appeal to you? Anyone can be a senior citizen, right? Anyone can be. You just reach a certain age. What is it now? 60? Is it 55? Is it 65? I mean, it's somewhere in there, right? Or anyone can be a pensioner if you turn a certain age. I'd much rather be an elder, a biblical elder. And how could we set that as a culture here at St. Cuthbert, that we would really desire to be an elder and to mentor others, share the wisdom of our lives, focus on God, want to bless God like Simeon did, and to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Wow, that would change the face of any community, would it not? And there are elders amongst us operating as elders, and I pray that you would, that I could in some small way deepen that understanding and to support you in that pursuit. I just believe it's a worthy calling. It's a calling for all Christians. And here we have Anna and Simeon. He speaks to Mary in a very authoritative way. And Luke says that he speaks to Mary, his mother. You see kind of Joseph fade into the background a little bit. He blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel." This is a watershed moment in the life of Israel. In Romans 9, Paul writes this, "See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame." And so Jesus divides households as well. Some are for him, some are against him. It's just the way it is. And then he said he would be a sign that is opposed. As if to say, Mary, this is not going to be a smooth ride. This is not going to be easy. And you said in faith, May it be to me according to your word. When the angel spoke, when God spoke to you through the angel, I'm filling that in now. And Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. This is heavy stuff. Wow. But Mary, we understand, not only hung in there, but persevered. She modeled this hupomene, this cheerful endurance, and stuck in there, hung in there. She was tough. She had to be. And she was also a woman of deep and profound faith. So Simeon breaks out in a song. We don't know if he did, but I can imagine him singing, can't you? Thomas Cranmer could, because in the early days of the prayer book, because in the evening prayer service in the Book of Common Prayer, Simeon's song is preserved in what's called the Nunc Dimittis, two Latin words, the first two words of Luke chapter 2, verse 29. Lord, now lettest, Nunc Dimittis. And some of you will know it. I thought I'd just offer it in a song. And I can see Simeon singing as he had Jesus, baby Jesus, in his arms. It goes like this. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So the last part, the glory be, was added by Thomas Cranmer, and yet there it is, the Nunc Dimittis. What can we take away from this morning? There's a lot going on in this service, but let's remember that Simeon and Anna are part of the Christmas story. We linger around the mystery of Christmas through this presentation of Jesus at the temple. And remember that it was prompted by obedience. They went to the temple for this purification rite following Jesus' circumcision. And so they were law-abiding believers. They were law-abiding Jews wanting to honor God. And that both Simeon and Anna, long in years, Anna even longer in years, had an active, spirit-filled ministry, a powerful ministry that was at a watershed moment. May that be true for you. By God's grace, may that be true for me and for Joanne. We don't know how God will use us, but are we available for God? And are we paying attention? It seems to me that that's where the weight of this is for me. And that Jesus identified so completely and strongly with us in our humanity, and that through his shed blood, he came into covenant with us. He didn't need this outward and visible sign of circumcision, and yet he submitted to it at the hands of his parents as a foreshadowing of the freedom that he would bring to us through the shed blood of the cross. And so may we just stand, and not literally stand unless you feel prompted, but and join in that song of Simeon. May God guide us as we consider these words.